I'd like for us on this New Year's Day to turn to the book of Jeremiah. And we're going to start with a woodworking project in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 27. I'd like to read a couple of verses in the beginning of this chapter, Jeremiah chapter 27. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Thus says the Lord to me, make for yourselves bonds and yokes, and put them on your neck, and send them to the king of Edom, the king of Moab, the king of the Ammonites, the king of Tyre, and the king of Sidon, by the hand of the messengers who come to Jerusalem, to Zedekiah, king of Judah. And command them to say to their masters, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus shall you say to your masters, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are on the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it to whom it seemed proper to me. And now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field I have also given him to serve him. So all nations shall serve him and his son's son until the time of his land comes. And then many nations and great kings shall make him serve them. And it shall be that the nation and kingdom which will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and which will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation I will punish, says the Lord, with the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Therefore, do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, or your sorcerers who speak to you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you to remove you far from your land, and I will drive you out, and you will perish. But the nations that bring their necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will let them remain in their own land, says the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell in it. I also spoke to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, and serve him and his people, and live. Why will you die, you and your people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore, do not listen to the words of the prophets who speak to you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you. For I have not sent them, says the Lord. Yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I may drive you out, and that you may perish, you and the prophets who prophesy to you. And then just jump down to the next chapter, chapter 28, verse 1. And it happened in the same year, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, who was from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within two full years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. And I will bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah who went to Babylon, says the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people who stood in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, amen, the Lord do so. The Lord perform your words which you have prophesied to bring back the vessels of the Lord's house and all who were carried away captive from Babylon to this place. Nevertheless, hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who have been before me and before you of old prophesied against many countries and great kingdoms of war and disaster and pestilence. As for the prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus says the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made in their place yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, Behold, I will cast you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die, because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. Such an intriguing and strange chapter. It actually sounds very dark and very distressing. And in fact, it was a very distressing time that the prophet Jeremiah was living in. Just to sort of set the context of where we are in the time period here, we began reading in chapter 27 during the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah. And after Josiah was the last great king of Judah. There was revival under his kingship. And then his son Jehoahaz reigned for 3 months and was taken away to Egypt. And then Jehoiakim, that we read about here, he reigned for about 11 years. He was a wicked man. He was told that Jeremiah had a scroll upon which the writings of the word of the Lord were provided. And the scroll was brought into the presence of Jehoiakim. And Jehoiakim, as the scroll was being read and unrolled, Jehoiakim took a penknife and cut the scroll into pieces and threw it into the fire. Jehoiakim was a wicked man. Following him was Jehoiakim, or sometimes called Jeconiah. He's called Jeconiah here in chapter 28. He reigned also for about 3 months, 3 months and 10 days. You know, we always talk about the first 100 days of someone's administration. Well, that's all he got was 100 days, and he was taken away to Babylon. During the reign of Jehoiakim, that we mentioned first, Daniel was taken to Babylon. During the reign of Jehoiakim, Jeconiah, Ezekiel was taken to Babylon. And along with the priests of the time of Ezekiel, all these articles, many of the pieces of the temple were taken away into Babylon. The city of Jerusalem still exists. There are still people living there. Jeremiah is still living in Jerusalem. The temple is still standing, though kind of a shell of what it ought to have been. And then finally, Zedekiah, we read his name. Zedekiah reigned for the last 11 years or so of the kingdom of Judah before the final captivity came and Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed the temple, burned the city, killed many people. We read about the war and the famine and the pestilence. Pestilence is an old-fashioned word for plague, for disease, for epidemic. And in the days of Ezekiel, just kind of say a little more about this, Ezekiel was told to take a sword and shave his head with the sword, and then to chop up the hairs and throw them into the wind. And it said a third of the people were going to die by war, and another third were going to die by famine, and another third were going to die by plague, pestilence. And the Lord said to Ezekiel, take a handful of hair, just put it in your pocket, put it in the pocket of your robe. I'm going to preserve a few. And that's what the Lord did. He preserved a few. But there were really very few that were able to see the fulfillment of the Lord's promises. But anyway, we see that Jeremiah is living in a very difficult time. And chapter 27 starts with him getting this message for Jehoiakim during the time of the captivity of Daniel, first captivity. And these messengers and ambassadors from these other countries are told to make some yokes of wood, like an ox yoke, right? For the plowing of the field, you would have a yoke of servitude. If you are yoked to another ox, if you're an ox and you're yoked to another ox, you're not going anywhere except where that ox goes. And the Lord says, I'm giving you the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. You're going where Nebuchadnezzar goes because I've given him all these nations. And then we find out in verse 12 of chapter 27 that Jeremiah had to give the same message to Zedekiah. This is probably maybe 15 years later or so. And he goes to Zedekiah and he says, serve the king of Babylon. In fact, there are some really dramatic chapters later in Jeremiah. Almost all of Jeremiah is very disjointed. It's this king, and then it's this king, and then it goes back to the other king. And there's usually some time markers of during which reign it is. But it's very disjointed. A commentator that I read about Jeremiah once said he was a brokenhearted prophet, and so he wrote a broken book. All the pieces, just as if they were scattered and then put together. And so Jeremiah, he goes now to Zedekiah, and later in those historical chapters, 37 to 44, they form a pretty long chronological section in the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah has a secret audience with King Zedekiah. And Zedekiah says, what should I do? And he says, if you surrender to Babylon, the Lord will not destroy the city. He had an opportunity. Zedekiah says, I'm afraid of what the people will do to me if I surrender. And Jeremiah says, no, the Lord will save you alive if you do what he says. You'll be captured, but you will be saved alive. And Zedekiah says, I can't do that. And Zedekiah, by his fear and stubbornness, contributed to the downfall of the city. In our context here, we see that he has a similar message for Zedekiah. Right near the end of the captivity, by now Daniel is in captivity, Ezekiel is in captivity, and he goes to Zedekiah and he says, put yourself under the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. And apparently, when we learn in chapter 28, that Jeremiah is walking around in the days of Zedekiah with a wooden yoke on his own neck. And there he is, out there in public. He's in the house of the Lord in chapter 28, verse 1. And this man, Hananiah, he's called Hananiah the prophet. But what do we find out by the end of this chapter? He's no prophet. He had the heritage of a prophet. He had the name prophet, but he was false. He prophesied blessing when the Lord wanted repentance and confession. And so he sees Jeremiah and he can't take it anymore. Probably Jeremiah has been walking around for a while with these wooden yokes on his neck. And he takes the yoke off of Jeremiah's neck and he breaks it. And at this time, what has been happening is there's already captives. Two waves of captivity have already been taken to Babylon. The time of Daniel and some of the royal seed, the time of Ezekiel and some of the priests. There are people in Babylon, and apparently false prophets like Hananiah were both here in Jerusalem and there in the exile, were telling the captives of Judah. They were saying, don't worry, God is going to bring us back. We could read some chapters. In fact, we'll look maybe at one more chapter in Jeremiah where we can see this is happening. Over there in Babylon, just as it is here in Jerusalem. It's a false message. It's a message that, you know, we're the people of the Lord. No harm can come to us. It's something that they were saying in the days of Micah already. We're the people of the Lord. This city is the cauldron and we're the meat, they were saying in the days of Ezekiel. We're the good parts of everything God is doing. And so Hananiah, he says to Jeremiah, 2 years, you just watch. In 2 years, the Lord is going to bless us. He's going to bring the captives back to Jerusalem. He's going to have the stolen items from the temple are going to be returned. And Jeremiah says, amen, may it be so, but it won't be so. It's possible to desire the blessing of the Lord while realizing that there needs to be an intermediate step of returning to the Lord. And so when Hananiah takes this wooden yoke off of Jeremiah's neck and breaks it, a message comes to him personally. Oh, you think in 2 years the Lord is going to do something amazing for blessing? Well, it's going to be in less than 1 year. You're not even going to be here to see the judgment of the Lord. You have made yokes of iron in place of what you thought to break. And so now we come to Jeremiah chapter 29. And on Wednesday night, we had touched a little bit actually on this chapter because we got to Daniel chapter 9, where it says that Daniel was reading the words of the prophet Jeremiah. And it's quite possible that this chapter is the chapter that was preserved, because let's read a little bit here in this chapter. Chapter 29, verse 1. Now, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive, to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. This happened after Jeconiah, the king, the queen mother, the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the smiths had departed from Jerusalem. So verse 2 tells us what's happening here. Jeconiah is the second to last king of Judah. Zedekiah, therefore, is ruling right now. So this is Daniel's already there. Ezekiel's already there. All these other people, these craftsmen and those of some royal lineage, they've been brought to Babylon. But people like Jeremiah are still in Jerusalem. Zedekiah is still on the throne, though really he's very weak ruler, kind of a puppet king. And so there was an ambassador, a group of people sent. In verse 3 it tells us, the letter was sent by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah. These were faithful people, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So evidently what happened was Zedekiah sent some messengers to Nebuchadnezzar. And when Jeremiah heard that messengers were going from Judah to Babylon, he sent another letter. He sent a message to the elders of the people who were carried away captive, the priests and the prophets, back in verse 1. So we don't know what the letter said that Zedekiah sent, but we know what the letter said that Jeremiah sent. Verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace, you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. We'll just pause there. I think there's another chapter in Jeremiah, maybe it's chapter 25, where he also mentions this period of 70 years. And the Lord is very clear that there was going to be an extended time period. Was Hananiah correct that in two full years the Lord would undo all the work and opposition of Nebuchadnezzar? Absolutely not. Jeremiah says to the captives, you have a long time ahead of you in Babylon. But I think verses 5 through 7 are uniquely beautiful. And they tell us something as Christians, because we're living in a place that is not our home. These exiles, they were living in a place that was not their home. In fact, if you read, I think it's Psalm 137, people made fun of them over there in Babylon. They said, hey, sing us one of the songs of Jerusalem. And they say, we hung our harps on the willows. How can we sing a song of Jerusalem in a strange land? They were mocked. They were the laughingstock. They were the entertainment of the people. It was not a happy place. But the Lord says to them, you're going to be living here for a while. Learn to live in the expectation of my promises for an extended period of time. You're not going to see the fulfillment of these promises, many of you. Most of them died in captivity. We know, for example, Daniel continued until the people returned. But that was very unusual. The people that are getting this message from Jeremiah, people like Ezekiel and the people that were in exile with him, they did not have the opportunity to see the Lord fulfill his promises of bringing his people out of captivity. And so the Lord says to them, pray for the place you're living now. This is not what you chose. This is not what you expected. This is not even what your false prophets are telling you to expect. But you go ahead, plant a garden. Nobody plants a garden who thinks they're leaving in a couple of months. Plant a garden. Build a house. Have a family. Have grandbabies. Pray for the city where you're living. Because if the city does well, you'll do well. Don't struggle. Don't resist it. And what I would like to say, as an application of this in the new year, is that it's quite probable that many of the Lord's people look at the new year and think, this is not what I thought life would be like in 2023. This is not the way I thought life was going to go. I didn't think I'd be in this place on January 1st, 2023. And the Lord says, well, it's the place you are. What will you do? I have a way for you to live fruitfully, faithfully. Don't struggle against it. Maybe the way you expected your business life or your family life or your Christian life, maybe the way you thought it was going to go was not this way. But here we are. What are we going to do? In the world of education, there's a very lovely little allegory that somebody wrote, and sometimes it's given to parents who their children weren't turning out the way they thought. And it was an allegory called Welcome to Holland. Some of you may have heard of it. And the woman who wrote it had a son in the 1970s who was born with Down syndrome in a time period where there was very few resources and very little anticipation that such a baby would amount to anything. In fact, the doctor told the mom, just pretend you never even had a baby. Just let him die. And she didn't do that. And her son grew up to be a productive person. But she wrote this little allegory called Welcome to Holland. And she imagines that she was going to take a trip to Italy. And she was so excited. And she bought all the guidebooks. And she learned some of the Italian phrases and about the cuisine and the history and the art and the things you could do when you went to Italy. And she got on the plane and she landed. And the flight attendant said, Welcome to Holland. And she couldn't leave. She was stuck in Holland. And in her little allegory, she says, this is not the place I was supposed to be. And like her friends are sending her messages, we're in Italy, it's so beautiful over here. She says, yeah, I expected to be in Italy too, but now I'm in Holland. And she says, but if you always tell yourself about what you should have had on your trip to Italy, you'll never be able to appreciate the beauties of the country of Holland. There are some very pretty sights in Holland. There are some wonderful things to see and nice food to eat and places to enjoy. It's not Italy, but it's Holland. And although that's not written by a Christian, I think it fits with the message of the Lord to his people through Jeremiah. Welcome to Babylon, he says to his people. To us today, he says, welcome to 2023. What's 2023 going to be like? Maybe it doesn't look anything like we thought it ought to look. Maybe at whatever age we are or whatever challenge we face, these are not the things we signed up for. But life is like that. And God is faithful. Here we are in a new year. And the Lord says to us, don't struggle against it. I have a way forward. Don't keep looking back. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press on to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, says the Apostle Paul. And in his case, he's forgetting all of his earthly advantages. But how many times it is true that we look back and we think, you know, if only things had gone differently. Sure, Jeremiah would say, amen, may it have been so, but it wasn't so. So what will we do now? The Lord is faithful. He did not forsake his people in Babylon. He brought them where he wanted them to be, despite the fact that their, in their case, their disobedience brought them the long way. In our case, it might not be disobedience. It might be other factors. The Lord will bring us where He wants us to be, and He will help us to move forward.